Good morning, everybody. Welcome to see you. Welcome to you. It is good to see you here this morning. It says in Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the works of his hands." And as we start this morning, we're going to declare the glory of God. We're going to celebrate the wonders of his love and power in creation. We're going to sing from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's declaring your majesty.
So the reading is from Daniel, and it's 2:1-23. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. He was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the Lord of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and rises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise God, my God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king."
Thank you, Diane. Good morning, everybody. Scary story alert. That was a bit of a story, wasn't it? That's what we're looking at this morning. I've called this message this morning overwhelmed, and I think it's fair to say that Daniel is fairly overwhelmed. An overwhelming situation, is he, in this story? I just want to do a quick recap of where we are so we can get the most out of these 23 verses. And if you remember from last week, Daniel has been exiled. He lived in Jerusalem, didn't he? And then King Nebuchadnezzar, King Neb, as I call him in my notes, because I can't write out Nebuchadnezzar every time. King Neb has come and he's taken over. He's like this big dictator guy, and he's taken him out of Jerusalem. He's taken him to Babylon, and he's changed Daniel's name. He's changed his job. Daniel's culture has changed. Everything about Daniel's life has changed. And now, despite all that change, Daniel's life is now about to get a lot worse, a little bit more tricky, a little bit more scary, you could say. Because the king has this dream, and he doesn't tell anyone the contents of his dream that he has, but he expects all the experts in the land, including Daniel, to interpret his dream. And of course, the astrologers and the sorcerers and the magicians, they just say, okay, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. He goes, no, you can't buy yourself more time, guys. You need to tell me the dream. And they're basically going, look, this is impossible. And so the king goes, okay, like a true dictator that he is, you're not going to tell me? Your houses are going to be burnt to rubble, made to rubble, and you're all going to be killed. Nice. So they have this argument, and Daniel is now involved in this argument that we see happening. That's where we're going to kind of pick up the story. We see in verse 12, it said, this is the he's responding to them saying, no, we can't interpret the dream. It said, made him so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. So Daniel's involved, and having done nothing wrong, really, it seems certain that he's going to die if he doesn't obey the king and interpret this dream. So now Daniel is being overwhelmed, if you like, by the imperial power that surrounds him, that he lives under. And he seems to be in a position where there are just no options at all for him, no choices for him. And that's where I want to pick up this story. That's kind of like the first point, if you like, this morning. What do we do when powers overwhelm us? Because it might be today that you're in a position where the powers, the authorities, even the laws of our country, they're oppressing you. They're oppressing your business, maybe your benefits, how you work, where you live, even your employment. Maybe you feel squeezed and pushed into a corner with no choices available to you. Maybe that's how you might feel as a Christian. Living in today's society, we live in a secular society today where there's not really any room for faith. Where everywhere you turn, maybe some of your friends, your workplace, when you go down the pub, when you watch the TV, when you think about what you're going to put on social media, it feels risky to speak any kind of Christian language or give any kind of biblical opinion. What did Daniel do? And what can we do when powers seem to overwhelm us? Well, the really simple thing that Daniel did in the first place was that his faith meant he remained positive. Look at the two different reactions. Verses 10 and 11. So this is the reactions of the experts in the kingdom, who normally interpret the dreams of the king. The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among the humans." They're saying, look, everything we know, all the knowledge we have, all the expertise, No way, you can't do this. Look at Daniel's response to this. Verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king, not to beg him, not to say, please don't kill me, so that he might ask, that he asked for more time, so that he might interpret the dream. Great. Why did he ask for more time? Verse 17 tells us, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends. Verse 18, he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. You see, he goes, I've got to have faith in God because God's in control. His faith kept him positive, even in the most desperate of situations. And I think our faith should keep us positive, shouldn't it? Our faith in God, that he's alive, he's in control, that he loves us, that he's got a plan. Because what else do we really have? I think being a Christian, it's like being a battery, isn't it? You've got to have the positives and the negatives lined up in the right place to get power for our lives, yeah? To get power for our faith. We get the negatives of life all mixed up and the positives of life mixed up, then, you know, faith doesn't work. Our lives don't work. Daniel asks for time to interpret the dream because he knows that God is in control. But he only knows this because of his faith in God and his experience of God in his life. That's why he just goes straight to the Lord with this. And this moment of that Daniel does say, this moment that he has of asking for more time, then praying to God, this should really encourage us. Because what is Daniel doing? He is trusting that God is in control. And the reason why that should encourage us is because we can see in this story that God is in control, can't we? Remember, Stuart covered this last week. If you go to chapter 1, verse 2, well, verse 1 we read that, you know, you got this Nebuchadnezzar guy, he's the big dictator, king of Babylon. He comes to Jerusalem, he besieges it, and then we read, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. It's like God allows this to happen. So we can see, actually, that this is all part of God's plan. Daniel can't see this. God saw what Daniel couldn't see at that time. And it's the same for us. We may not be able to completely see what God is doing, but God can see. Proverbs 19, verse 21, should be on the next slide. In the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water that he channels toward all who please him. It's kind of saying that God's in control. There's a really powerful story about a boy who's stuck in his bedroom, little boy. The whole house is on fire. The window's open, but smoke is billowing out of this window. And his dad is crying to him, just jump, jump. And the boy goes, Dad, I want to jump, but I can't see you. And the father goes, it doesn't matter. I can see you. I think that's a word from God for somebody here today. That you may feel overwhelmed by the powers that dictate our lives. And you may be struggling to see God in the situation that you're currently in. But God can see you. That's all that really matters, isn't it? Just like the boy is too fearful to jump. But the father could see him. God can see you. And he's in control. That should be a consolation to us. Psalm 94:19 says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy, that God is in control. Now, when we go on in this story, we see that the Lord answers Daniel's prayer. He answers his prayer. Look at verse 19. During the night, so after Daniel praying, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. And look at Daniel's response. And look how Daniel's faith really increased in God. Daniel says in verse 20, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and powers are his." And he even goes on to say, "He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning." He's saying, look, yeah, my life might have changed. I might be in another land and I've got to learn a new language. I've got a new job and I'm living in a different culture. And a new king has just taken over. But actually, God's in control of all this. And what we can learn is this, that keep trusting God this morning. And you will prove that although you can't always see him in every situation, and you may not understand everything that he is doing, he can see you. Because when we trust God, we are trusting and believing that he is working in our situation and he is not separate from it. When we trust God, we are trusting and believing that he is even working through the people that are oppressing us, the powers that are over us. When we trust God, we are trusting that even if it feels that everything is against us, he still loves us and he is still faithful to his promises to us. Point two this morning, I've only got 2 points this morning, is this. We are all overwhelmed, so we all need an overcomer. As I said already, Daniel was living away from home and he's living in a troubled country, Babylon. He was in the worst of situations. His life is in imminent danger. And I think to some degree, we can't relate to that. Thankfully, in our country, we can't relate to perhaps our life being in imminent danger. But we do live in a troubled world, don't we? And I don't think there is anyone in this room who would say that, you know, life is a breeze with no difficulties. Apart from the under sevens, maybe. And if there is, then please come up and take over from me and tell us your secret. We either have or are suffering, aren't we? With things that just overwhelm us. And the incredible thing about this passage, written so long ago, it seems such a strange and weird story, doesn't it? Is that it speaks to us all in this room today. Whether you are a follower of Jesus or you're not. Look at the different characters in this story. You've got King Nebuchadnezzar. He's at the top of his game. He's the main man. He's like the great dictator. But he is driven to despair by his dream. You can have it all, but you can still be in a situation where you are overwhelmed. Look at his advisors, the sorcerers, the enchanters, the astrologers, the magicians. They are in deep despair because they tell the king, look, we can't do what you're asking. It's impossible. You can be in positions of great influence and still be overwhelmed and feel overwhelmed. And you got Daniel. He's in a foreign land. His identity has been stripped. And now his life's in danger. Well, sometimes the circumstances of life can threaten to even overwhelm our faith, can't they? God has something to say to all of them through the king's dream. And I believe God has something to say to each of us through this dream as well. And that is this. It's only God who can reveal the great mysteries of life. And it's only God who understands and knows and is in control of the great mysteries of life. Look at verses 27 and 28. We didn't read it all because there's 49 verses. So that's a bit long, isn't it? But verses 27 and 28 says, Daniel replied to the king, "No wise man enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you are lying in bed are these. And then he goes to explain them. And here's the gist. We haven't got time to go into this all today. But here's the gist. Look on this slide here. Here's the gist of this dream. He has this dream of this amazing statue, great powerful statue. And Daniel interprets the dream because God's told Daniel, remember, and he says, look, the gold head, the gold glorious head, that's your empire, King Nebuchadnezzar. It's amazing. The silver chest and arms, and this, by the way, if you didn't know, this is historically accurate. These things happen one after another through history. Then the silver chest and arms are the Medo-Persian Empire that comes after him. The bronze belly and thighs are the Greek Empire that then comes along. And then the iron legs are the Roman Empire, prophesied hundreds of years before the Roman Empire came, and the Roman Empire had the elite unit in them called the kind of like the Iron Gang, the Iron Army. And then the iron and clay feet that he dreams about and sees on the statue, God tells Daniel, and then Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, this is like divided, compromised powers that follow. It's a disunited world. And then in this dream is a rock. Can you see a little rock down by the feet? A rock comes and it smashes the statue to pieces. And the rock grows bigger and starts to cover the earth. Daniel says, this is God's kingdom. And this is Daniel now speaking prophetically about Jesus coming. Verses 44 and 45 in chapter 2. This is Daniel speaking to King Nebuchadnezzar, interpreting the dream. It says, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. He's saying that the kingdom of God will enter this earth through the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is referred to constantly as a rock. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. This is Peter writing. He says, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him shall never be put to shame. And you even see that in Psalm 118. Verse 22, the stone the builders rejected, that's Jesus, has become the cornerstone upon which everything is built. No one was safe in Babylon who was not trusting in God, and no one was safe in the vast and powerful empires of the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, and even now, because in our time we live in this kind of Babylon, don't we? Where God's people, if you like, have been driven out from the public square. When I was younger, if there was some major event going on, and it would say on something like Question Time, you would have a panel of various people from society, great voices, and you would always have, say, some representative of the Christian faith. But now that doesn't happen because we're in a secular society where there's no real space for faith. And as Christians, I think we're being told to re-identify with society in a new way. That's okay to some degree, but some of it is different to what God has told us to and to his plan. And so now everything is up for grabs. It feels like you can live life just the way you want to. But this dream tells us that God is still in control, and actually that one day all kingdoms, all systems, all political powers, all types of philosophy will fall apart and fail because Jesus has established God's kingdom through his death and his resurrection. And I'm glad about that. Because if you look at the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, it kind of gets worse. Can you see that? It starts off with gold, then goes to silver and bronze and iron, and then a mixture of iron and clay. The point is that God's kingdom shall never fail or pass away. That's why Jesus speaks as he does in Matthew 7. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." That means Jesus. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." You see, we are all overwhelmed, so we all need an overcomer, and his name is Jesus. Psalm 61:2, it's up on the screen. It says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So what's the big point this morning? Look at verse 31, chapter 2. "Your majesty looked," this is him interpreting the dream, "and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance." What's the point? The point is that all that glitters is not gold. That's what Daniel's trying to say. All that glitters is not gold. The things that glitter to you in life, friendships, careers, money, the stars, mediums, that false spirituality, sexual lust, drugs, drink, leisure, some of those things, there's nothing wrong with them. But none of it can make you or me right with God, and none of it will build a kingdom that will stand. That's what this dream says, doesn't it? Maybe one or more of those things have so overwhelmed you, they did once me, that you think you need them above everything else. Maybe you think they're the solution, that's what I need. But they're not. We need Jesus, because Jesus is the overcomer of the overwhelmed. Maybe you're doing that this morning. You're a Christian. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that. The big message from Daniel 2 is this. It's like last Sunday evening. Is that it's all about Jesus. Daniel looked forward to the promise of Jesus, didn't he? Well, Daniel 2 can teach us that that promise, we can know it today, now. When life feels out of control and chaotic, what do we need? We need the hope of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." When life is mysterious and confusing, we need the wisdom of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "It is because of him," that's God, "that you're in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God," that is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. And then when life is threatening and dangerous, like it was for Daniel, we need the strength of Jesus, don't we? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You see, Daniel was living in a troubled and confusing world. He put his faith in God and God's promise. We live in a troubled and confusing world, but the best way to live in that troubled and confusing world is in relationship with Jesus. Just want to read Psalm 61, verse 1 again, because I really feel that definitely someone here this morning needs to hear this, which is, "From the ends of the earth I call to you, I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lord, it is a troubled world. And I feel like it's a confusing world sometimes, Lord. And Lord, not even the world, Lord. I know sometimes my life feels troubled and my life feels confusing. And so, Lord, will you help us to look to you this morning? Because I thank you, Lord, that you love us with a love that cannot be compared with anything that we have ever known. And you are in control, Lord. So give us that faith to trust you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.